I didn't get to preach this morning, so this is the first time I get to preach. The bishop was here this morning at my installation. So this morning, or this reading, the first reading, that the Lord has a covenant, that in the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah predicts, has this vision of the Lord being the one that is going to fulfill this covenant, a new covenant, start a new covenant. And if we want to look at the context of what the Old Testament was, it was a lot of covenants. It was a lot of Israel breaking covenants. A covenant isn't a promise. A covenant isn't a contract. A covenant is, I will be your Lord and you will be my people. I will be your Lord and you will be my people. Which means, yes, there's rules and regulations. But it means a shared, mutual love and affection. A shared love and mutual affection. I was thinking about different ways that growing up, mom and dad instilled rules in me and seeing if any of those rules still apply. Like, don't get in the car with strangers. Well, that rule doesn't really apply with Lyft and Uber. I pay people that are strangers to drive me around now. That was a joke. Come on. No chuckle whatsoever. Look both ways before you cross the street. Not only do I do that when I'm walking or biking, but I do that when I'm driving, especially in these roundabouts. See, the rule looks like a stipulation, but it actually becomes part of us because we understand that our parents actually love us. And they want our good. And so we don't want to offend them. It wasn't so much a rule that my father had. It wasn't a rule at all, really. It was just a practice of his life. He's from the East Coast. And every Sunday afternoon, we would call Papa in. We would call Papa in. He would check in with his parents on the East Coast once a week. Just to touch base with life. And we kids, depending on what mood we were in, we had to at least spend 2 minutes on the phone with Papa Nan, which sometimes was the worst 2 minutes of your entire week. But what does that instill in my older brother and younger sister who have families? They call mom and dad and have the kids check in. I call mom and dad on Sundays if I haven't talked to them all week, just to check in. By example, my dad didn't even have a rule. He just had a way of life. This is what we do. This is what I do. This is what I'm setting the example for you to do. For you to choose to do this. Because in the end, both of us, that gives us life. And that's what God wants to share with us, is life. More importantly, his life in you. And he's going to start this eternal covenant that isn't coming from us, but it's going to be given from him. And what does Jesus say? When I'm lifted up, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Indicating the kind of death he was to die. cross. So how does this anguishing, painful process of dying, by the way, how does the cross get you life here 2,000 years later? How is divine life infused into you? And why can it never be broken? Even if I mess up tragically, why can it not be broken? Because it's given by God. Who in particular? Jesus, who is what? Fully God and fully human in one person. We can't divide Jesus back out. Jesus has perfectly mended the relationship between God and humanity. When we live in Him, we're perfectly in union with the Father. But I can't do that on my own. I need sacraments. And so we have the Mass, which is the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary. Where Jesus is fed into our very lives, into our very bodies, into our very beings, so that He's the source inside of us that is bringing us life, abundant life. And as I have struggles, and as I have sins, and as I have all of the things of my life that get me distracted from just focusing on God, He knows me by name. He knows you by name, and He still is not walking away. He will never walk away. He still is infusing into your heart, into your very body. What is His promise? His law written on your heart. Not an external thing to observe, the law being out here, something that I would rather have nothing to do with, but something in here, where I actually want to love my enemy. And I want to pray for those who persecute me. And I want to bring health and healing to the blind, the slick, the crippled, the lame, the poor, the marginalized, the stranger. Where I become more free to be the most human possible. It's the work of grace in our life. The work of God's love and life coming into you and I. These last few weeks of Lent, Palm Sunday is next weekend. This last week of Lent. Hopefully you felt some freedom. Oh, Garrett's not here to go check the sound system. Whoop, hello. These last few weeks of Lent. Now I got distracted. These last few weeks of Lent. Let us let the Lord give us this sense of freedom in our observances of Lent. From fasting from what we don't need. From giving alms of our surplus, because we live in America and we have plenty. From penance. From giving the good of comfort to a different side. to the better good, to the Lord. Let us continue to journey with each other until we get to celebrate the glorious Triduum, where we get to celebrate the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord.